The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain and sat down, and his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I'll admit to you this morning, I hate scary movies. And I know that I inherit this dislike from my mother. In fact, even today, my dad has to sometimes preview movies for her in order to make sure that my mom will enjoy the film. Maybe this sounds familiar in some of your families. And this isn't as extreme in me yet, though who knows as I get older. But I do find myself keeping away from any horror film and or intense or weird murder drama. And sometimes this gets annoying to Abby, as she's a great fan of the show X-Files. And this isn't really a horror show by any stretch, but it still is kind of weird, intense, and gross. And so she'll be really wanting to catch up on an episode, and I will rarely, if ever, really want to watch it with her. And my mom and I have talked a couple times about our mutual disdain for intense horror films and why we have this dislike. My mom has said that many times it's hard for her because she puts herself too much into the movie. I remember in particular having this conversation when James Cameron's famous film Titanic came out, and she didn't want to see it because she said to me, quote, "You know, I will put myself on that boat, and then the entire night after I watch the film, I will be wanting to get off the boat and not be able to." And I too find, even though I do own the movie Titanic, I too find that I get caught up with my imagination after I sometimes see a film. I replay these scenes over and over again, maybe placing myself or a loved one in a victim's place. And I find it very hard to break that cycle. I find then myself just getting spoofed after I see one of these movies, and I'll look around a corner of a dark space a little bit more, or I'll just be kind of jittery. In other words, it is hard for my mom and I sometimes to separate realities. Realities that follow these films. What is real? What is just on TV? Normally, my mind can separate these two without much of a problem. But when I see a scary, intense, dramatic film with adrenaline pumping, I have a harder time kind of separating these two realities out. Well, I feel like our world right now is kind of like Pastor Eric watching a scary movie. It's jumpy. It's on edge. And most disturbingly, it's having problems separating realities. What is real? What is fake? And it's interesting to me to kind of connect this fact with Jesus' teaching today, the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous readings of all time in Scripture, and for good reason, because the Sermon on the Mount provides for us a lot of amazing pieces that make really the building blocks of the Christian faith. And one of the other interesting things that I think we tend to forget, even though it's in the title, is that the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon. The sermon appears both in the Gospel of Luke as well as the Gospel of Matthew. Our Bible study group was kind of comparing and contrasting these two versions earlier this morning. And what I think is very interesting in looking at these two versions between the two Gospels is length. Luke's version of the Gospel, or the Sermon on the Mount, is a sizable 32 verses, which is a pretty sizable sermon, to say the least. But Matthew's version is 3 whole chapters, totaling a whopping 109 verses in total. So it's no wonder that the Lutheran lectionary will spend the next 4 Sundays digging into the Sermon on the Mount. Hope you're excited. This is a huge difference in size, in content. Why? One of the main reasons, I think, for this is because Jesus is seen in the Gospel of Matthew as a teacher, a rabbi. Matthew, more than any other of the Gospel texts, focuses on Jesus teaching, explaining to his disciples what I like to refer to as a new reality. The good news, or good announcement, in Greek, evangelion, is what we hear again and again and again, Jesus referring to this new reality. This is where we get the word, of course, evangelical. So next time you want to be a real church nerd and you're sitting down with a beer and kind of debating things, and you want to be really smart, just say, well, the name, real name of our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America, is actually the Good News Lutheran Church in America. That's what it is all about. So what then is the good news that Jesus is teaching his disciples and us about? Well, in a nutshell, I would say and suggest that the good news means God's reality merging with our own reality. God's reality merging with our own reality. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become children of God. God's reality is now our reality. It is real that God lives within the poor and the hungry versus the extravagant or the wealthy. It is real that God lives within the peace versus war or conflict. It is real that God lives within love of neighbor versus condemnation, scapegoating, or severe punishment. This is the reality that Jesus gives an introduction to in the few verses that we have for today, called the Beatitudes. And what we will spend the next 3 Sundays digging a little bit deeper into what he means. But like me going to bed after a scary movie, we live in a world of competing realities. We are now living in a world that is preoccupied by fake news. Fake news, which has rumbled into our lives through things like internet banners, or tweets, or specially designed fake websites like abcnews.com.co. We come into conversations with people then who, after being sucked into these fake news, are now arguing perspectives and points that are now in a different reality. Fake news and alternative facts compete against our long-held realities, making us, me, feel overwhelmed and not sure what is real and what is fake. How do we then hold onto and proclaim the good news when our society is being bombarded with fake news? Paul writes in his letter to Thessalonians, his first letter, not in our reading today, but he writes this: "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." As I was perusing the news this last week, I always kind of look at the online newspapers as I'm eating breakfast every morning before work. And I came across this headline, which stated something about Vice President Mike Pence tweeting something that was incredibly inappropriate. And I could feel this anger that was coming up inside of me. I felt so angry and starting to sputter out kind of, how could he say that? What the bleep does he think he is? Doesn't he know any better? But then after a period of time, after getting so worked up, I suddenly thought to myself, you know, if he had tweeted something so inappropriate, so vile, wouldn't other news agencies be reporting on this? Well, sure enough, I dug a little bit deeper and found out that this headline, which I thought was real, about Vice President Mike Pence, was completely and utterly false. Hold fast to what is good. Meant for me to stop, to take a breath, and to think just for a moment. A fake news reality is designed for an immediate response, kind of like a scary movie, for instance. A response as it wells up inside of you and you think, wow, how could this person be so crappy and crazy? But if you think about it, it's usually then the anger that becomes a powerful tool in being manipulated, in being twisted in a calculated way in order to make for something that is very, very dangerous. And that is hate. Hate, as Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount, has no place in a good news reality. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become children of God." Hate has no place in a good news reality. Now, this is not to say that one cannot be angry and upset, sad, or moved to action. Christians have a right to stand up for injustice that takes place and to be angry at actions based out of fear. But as blessed peacemakers, as Jesus says, we must not give in to a reality of hate. We must take the time to become grounded, to become peacemakers, and to realize that anger and hate can be twisted in real and hurtful ways. For a good news reality is love. So holding fast to a good news reality also then means for us, after reading that fake news headline, to take some time to be grounded, to take some time to think. For thousands of years, Christians have come back again and again to the reality and ritual of worship. And that, my friends, today, I think, is our grounding, can be a way in which we say, this is our reality. Through many events throughout history which have tried to disorient the reality of followers of Christ, the reality of gathering together, the reality of singing together, the reality of breaking bread together and learning together and loving one another has remained strong and must continue to do so. This is a real fact, not an alternative one. This is the good news reality that we must work to be grounded in week after week after week. And so may you too find grounding in the good news reality. A reality in Christ that lifts up the lowly, that binds the brokenhearted, that proclaims peace and love that is real. Amen.